Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
This is America on the Road, named Best Radio Show by the International Automotive Media Conference, and now in its 31st year on the air. Thanks for being with us as we bring you the latest automotive information from around the world. I'm Jack Nerad, and along with me is co-host Chris Teague. Chris, great to be with you.
Great to be with you as well, Jack. We're winding down into fall here, slowly, but faster than I'd like. How are things on your side of the world?
Well, they say there's a heat wave here. There's a panic in the streets, apparently, because we're getting the same kind of summer weather we always have gotten, but now it's the lead story on the news, so I guess that's okay. Let's go to the news here, the news on the automotive side. In the news this week, J.D. Power has lowered its electric vehicle sales forecast for the year, for this year and for next. We have the details on what's going on there, why EVs aren't selling as well as many so-called experts expected. In a related story, a major global automaker has just abandoned its pledge to be all electric in 2030. We'll tell you the brand, what they just announced, and offer our comments. On a happier note, an important Japanese brand is vowing to increase its North American presence with an onslaught of new vehicles. We'll have the details on that coming up. And there is a bit of sadness in the Nerad household as we say goodbye to a vehicle that has served our family for well over 25 years. We'll have a few words about Clifford coming up sometime in the show here. So, Chris, is there a vehicle that you've had a sentimental attachment to?
I tend to fly through vehicles, Jack, but my family's owned a few over the years. I'd be happy to go into that a little bit later.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about that. Sentiment being what it is, people approach it differently. America on the Road is brought to you by DrivingToday.com, EMLancey.com, the publisher of my latest book, Dance in the Dark, and Mercury Insurance. If you're looking to save money, you should switch to Mercury for your auto and home insurance. Californians save an average of $670 with Mercury, so imagine how much you could save. Get a quote today at drivingtoday.com/auto insurance. That's drivingtoday.com/auto-insurance. Well, as you longtime listeners to the show know, Chris lives at one end of the country. I live at the other. Each week we get together to talk about the weather. Now we get together to talk about cars, the car industry, and how you can save some money on your car. And your kids went to school, back to school this week. How did that go, Chris?
It went very well, but I couldn't take them in the car that I tested this week, which was the 2024 Nissan Z Nismo, which only has two seats. Can't wait to tell you all about it.
That is a beautiful segue, Chris. That's very professional radio. I like that. My test car this week is the 2025 Ford Bronco Sport with the Sasquatch package, so I'll tell you about that. And our special guest is Andrei Ravinovich. He is the senior manager of product planning at Hyundai, and he's going to be telling us about the all-new 2025 Hyundai Tucson. So stay with us, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road. Welcome back to America on the Road with Chris Teague. This is Jack Nerad back with you, and we're so glad you're with us.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense.
Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
IBM and the United States Tennis Association are teaming up and using generative AI to deliver a more informative and engaging experience for tennis fans around the world. Thanks to IBM's Watson X and Granite large language models, the 2024 U.S. Open digital platforms offer never-before-seen features, bringing fans even closer to the action inside Billie Jean King Tennis Center. New post-match summaries mean fans can access detailed analysis for all 254 U.S. Open singles matches, with long-form summaries for each match arriving within minutes of the last serve for near-instant coverage at unprecedented scale. An enhanced version of AI commentary and a redesigned slam tracker brings more frequent, expressive, and contextual commentary, with highlight packages published just minutes after a match concludes. Live matches will have a near real-time 3D graphic of current play alongside generative AI-produced insights. IBM Skills Build's new collaboration with the USTA Foundation provides students, coaches, and the public access to AI and professional development courses, workshops, and more. To see IBM technology in action, visit usopen.org or download the US Open app. Sponsored by IBM.
Iowa EPS Products was founded in 1980 on the premise of providing the highest quality EPS products and services in the industry. Being family-owned and operated, relationships and loyalty remain the foundation on which this company was built. Providing expanded polystyrene products for commercial roofing and exterior wall insulation, as well as package products and below-grade lightweight geoform fill, Iowa EPS Products is the trusted source throughout the Midwest. Learn more at iowaepsproducts.com.
Welcome back to America on the Road with Chris Teague. This is Jack Nerad back with you, and we're so glad you're with us. We do appreciate you joining us on America on the Road. If you like the show, please pass it along to somebody who might like it. You probably know folks who like to hear about cars, so pass that on. We would appreciate it. We've got news for you. This news is from J.D. Power, our friends at J.D. Power. They have revised their EV retail share forecast for 2024 and 2025, and they've revised it down. Probably a good idea since the EVs aren't flying off the shelves here. They are now projecting a 9% share for EVs in 2024, and that translates to about 1.25 million battery electric vehicles. That doesn't include plug-in hybrids and hybrid electrics. This is down pretty significantly, I'd say, from the previous forecast of 12%. What's your reaction to that, Chris?
Well, I feel like beating a broken drum or playing a broken piano or whatever, the broken record. That's
broken record. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I wonder if young people even understand what a broken record is, or what a record is for that matter. But go ahead.
Yeah, you know, we're still looking at higher prices here. People still have concerns about range. There's still a lot of things that have to do with charging that people are skeptical about. And, you know, so it's no surprise to see the automakers, a lot of them are taking steps back and going back to hybrids and plug-in hybrids, which are more affordable and offer better fuel economy than gas vehicles. So until we're able to see some sort of price regulation between EVs and gas or even hybrid vehicles, I don't think we're going to see that percentage grow significantly.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to beat up on electric vehicles. And I think both you and I like electric vehicles. They're fun to drive. There's a lot to like about them. You own one, for heaven's
sakes. Yeah, I own one.
but on the other hand, we're just reporting the news here. And this is what's going on in the marketplace out there. And it has ramifications. Battery electric vehicle sales are up to 35,000 units through July of 2024. That's through this July. This according to Elizabeth Creer, who's vice president of the electric vehicle practice at J.D. Power. There still seems to be some cheerleading about electric vehicles from some quarters. And J.D. Power expects EV sales to be 30% market share by 2030. So that's a big gain, and 58% by 2035. So they're still very, very bullish on electric vehicles. It's interesting to see where that's going to come from.
Yeah, there's quite a leap between here and 2030. I realize we have almost 5 years now left to go, but all those things all the things that I mentioned before have to come into play and be improved upon. And then that also, doesn't take into account any political changes that we have coming in the next few years that could throw everything off track. So, I guess there's a lot of speculation, but it's interesting to see that they're still so bullish, as you said.
Yeah, there's a lot of battery electric vehicle models, 60 of them out there, 45 plug-in hybrid electric vehicles. And when we get into the next story, we can kick around plug-in hybrids a little bit, because I think that's an interesting facet of all this, too. In fact, let's dive into that story. The brand that is backing off of its 2030 EV only prediction is Volvo, a brand that we like, a brand you've owned Volvos. We like them. I was recently on a Volvo EX90 event and talking with them about that. We'll detail that on some upcoming shows. But they had been extremely bullish about electric vehicles, saying that they would be electric vehicle only in 2030. And just this week, they backed off on that and admitted that that's not going to happen and decided that now they think between 90 and 100% of cars sold will be either fully electric or plug-in hybrid models. And then 10% would be mild hybrid vehicles. This is in 2030. So again, this is a big change from what was expected. I think part of this, too, is driven under the radar by the fact that there's big tariffs. They're facing big tariffs on Chinese-built vehicles. And you kind of go, Volvo, why? What do Chinese tariffs have to do with Volvo? Well, they have to do a lot with Volvo because a lot of Volvos these days are made in China. And I think the plan for Volvo was to bring in Chinese vehicles under the Volvo brand going forward, including the EX30 I drove years ago. It seems now. As a Volvo guy, what's your thought on that?
Yeah, they're probably looking at the same data that J.D. Power is in making this decision. But as you point out, you know, they're owned by Geely, the large Chinese conglomeration corporation, whatever. They plan to build the EX90 in South Carolina. I assume that they're going to move the EX30 there, too, to get around these tariffs. But for Volvo, this has had to have been a big speed bump for their plans, because they can't just import vehicles now. They have to localize production, or they're going to be ridiculously expensive.
Right. One of the things I found most interesting was that plug-in hybrids are going to be a critical part of their future plans. They do have several plug-in hybrid vehicles, including a plug-in hybrid version of the XC90, which is, I think, a vehicle you owned. Not the plug-in hybrid version, but XC90. Big part of their overall growth. And we're just not, if EVs aren't gaining traction, plug-in hybrids are really not gaining traction. So I'm wondering, and kind of scratching my head over the idea that this is going to be a big portion of the market going forward.
Yeah, you know, we talk about EVs kind of being the underdog, but as you said, plug-in hybrids are you know, almost as challenging, if not more so. People just don't really know that much about them. And there's some data to suggest that the people who own these vehicles don't plug them in regularly, don't get the full benefit of the electric range. So, you know, there's still some work to be done on the automaker and dealers' parts there to get people to buy these things.
Absolutely true. Well, let's shift over to a happier note. And the Japanese brand that vows it's going to beef up what's going on in North America is Mitsubishi. And Mitsubishi's not a huge factor in the North American market, but a big, big factor in Japan and a major automaker over there. And we've seen this happen in fits and starts where they say they're going to charge ahead in North America, and then sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But they're now suggesting that they will have a lot more new product coming into the American market, both ICE, you know, internal combustion engine vehicles, hybrids, plug-in hybrids, battery electrics, I mean, a bunch of stuff. And they're certainly a full-on automaker, full-line type of automaker in Japan and in other markets.
Yeah, I think throwing more vehicles at Americans is the only way they're going to be able to grow their market share. But at the same time, it's been so long since we saw any sort of presence for Mitsubishi here. What is it, the late 90s, maybe the last time we saw kind of a full line from them in America? So I think they've got some brand building to do, but, you know, ultimately it's going to take new vehicles to get there. I've seen some enthusiasts screaming about like a new Mitsubishi Eclipse sports car or a new sporty vehicle, but I think what we're really looking at here is probably something like the Delica van in an electric or plug-in hybrid format, and the new, more compact SUVs that they bring out. But I'm cheering for Mitsubishi. I've always liked them. You know, I just wish they hadn't let things fall off as far as they have.
Yeah, well, I'd like to see good things happen for them, too. This is one thing that I found interesting. They're going to have a sporty passenger van, which I think maybe you just alluded to. Those might be oxymoronic kind of things, but, you know, maybe not. You know, over the years, Mitsubishi has had some very, very cool vehicles in the U.S. market, some sports cars, compact sports cars, more elaborate sports cars, 3000 GT, a very cool car back in the day. I remember driving that back in my Motor Trend days. Very, very advanced vehicle. So, you know, this is a company that really knows how to build a variety of vehicles, isn't it?
It is. And even their sort of middle of the road crossovers that they make today, the Outlander plug-in hybrid is a perfectly nice vehicle. It offers a decent electric range. You get a small third row seat. And, you know, I know they're borrowing technology from Nissan for the Outlander Sport, but it's all the better for it. So, you know, I think that they could be on the right path if they can get some more products and get their name back out there.
I mean, Mitsubishi has really had an off-road presence for a long, long time. Dakar Rally, you know, very, very impressive off-road vehicles over the course of time. And this is a market that loves crossovers. It's kind of interesting that they really haven't gained traction with that.
Yeah, just give me a four-wheel drive minivan and I'll be happy.
That will be exciting. And maybe it will happen. Auto journalists are the only ones who are going to like that kind of vehicle, Chris. But
true.
There you go. And when we come back, we will be road testing some pretty cool vehicles. I think we'll talk about Clifford in the upcoming segment, maybe at the end of the show. A sad, sad story, and I don't want to leave everybody sad, but we will talk about Clifford coming up. And we will be talking about a very hot sports car that you were test driving, the Nissan Z. And I was test driving for a very short period of time the 2025 Ford Bronco Sport with the Sasquatch package. So all of that is coming up. Look for that as we go forward right here on America on the Road. Stay with us. We'll be right back right after this.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish at 800-586-7112.
How would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family. Take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. That's 800-292-6156.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Welcome back to America on the Road with Chris Teague, Jack Nierad back with you for road test time. And Chris, you went crazy this week with a great sports vehicle. We don't get to test a ton of those. I mean, I feel like I'm in crossovers all the time. So you must have felt it was a breath of fresh air to be in the Nissan Z.
Yes, crossovers and pickup trucks are my bread and butter, but I do occasionally get a fun car, and I've had a string of them this summer, so the next few weeks will be exciting for us to talk about. But I tested the 2024 Nissan Z Nismo, or Nismo Z, however you want to order that. And so Nissan brought the Z back a couple of years ago after it had taken a year off, and they made a new body style, gave it more retro styling, and it's a really fantastic-looking car. I really like it. Jack, have you driven the new Z, and what do you think about it?
I think I have driven the new Z fairly recently. I liked it a lot. I mean, it's kind of a throwback to me in that, not that it's not modern, but, you know, driving a two-seat sports car is not something we're doing all that often.
Yeah, two-seat sports car. Unfortunately, you can't get a manual transmission with the Nismo trim, but I'll say yet. I'm sure that at some point we'll see something there. But the base car gets a twin-turbocharged 3-liter V6. It comes with 400 horsepower and 350 pound-feet of torque. The Nismo trim uses the same engine but bumps power to 420 horsepower and 384 pound-feet of torque, which are both very healthy numbers for a car of this size. So you can get a 6-speed manual with the regular car. The 9-speed automatic is the only option for the Nismo, but you get launch control with that. So I think if you're looking for the best acceleration, the Nismo is your way to go. Jack, I will say this, you know, 2-seater sports cars, like if you look at the Miata and a couple other cars, even my GR Corolla, which isn't a 2-door car, but it's built as a performance car, those cars are quick, but they're not thrillingly quick. They're just nimble. They feel great to drive. This car is thrillingly quick. It will chirp the tires in second and third gear under full throttle. And, you know, you really do feel the sensation of being pushed back in your seat. I didn't get to take it to a track, so I can't tell you how well it corners on a track. But around curvy back roads here in Maine, there's absolutely zero problem. And the ride quality is surprisingly better than that in my Corolla. So I was surprised to be able to go over bumps and not feel like I needed to tighten my fillings and my teeth afterward. You get large wheels. Like I said, the suspension system is very well tuned in this car. And the only thing I really have a problem with here, Jack, and I'm going to compare it to an older Infiniti vehicle. The engine in this car reminds me of the VQ V6 engines that came in the G35 and the old Nissan Zs, or the older Nissan Zs. It's got this sort of hum and drone to it that I don't really love, but at full throttle, it sounds great. You get burbles out of the exhaust pipe and can make some noise. What do you think of this car's exhaust note and how it compares to like the Supra or a V8?
You know, I'm not a big exhaust note guy. I kind of like fast cars that are silent and not one that loves the burbles and all of that stuff and the occasional backfire and crazy stuff that's coming out the exhaust. So I always think that's kind of strange that there's so much attention paid to that. But, you know, other people love that, and they really care about the exhaust note, so that's fine.
Maybe I'm just a child. I don't know. I like
don't
the
think
noise.
So, yeah. Hardly.
So in the standard car, you get cloth upholstery inside. You can get leather in the upgraded trim. But the Nismo has synthetic suede Recaro sport seats. And I have to tell you, these are some of the most supportive seats I've been in a mainstream brand car. I think if you get like a BMW with the carbon package, you get tighter seats. But this one is very supportive. They're nicely, they're wide enough for my large rear end of sitting at home working on my at my desk all day. And there's plenty of room for both front passengers because you don't have a back seat. So you have a good amount of space to adjust front and back. One thing I will say about this, I was able to find a comfortable driving position at 6 feet tall. However, my wife at 5'1", even with the seat all the way up, she couldn't see over the steering wheel. So I think that if you're looking at this car, maybe you want, and you're shorter, maybe you should go drive it before making a final decision to make sure you can really see over the steering wheel, because she was very irritated about that. But you get a great amount of tech in this car. So the standard 8-inch screen is upgraded to a 9-inch display in the Nismo trim. You get wireless Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, Amazon Alexa, navigation, and an 8-speaker Bose sound system. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, Jack, but one of the things I really like about Nissan's infotainment is that their screens are very crisp. The resolution is very high, And there's enough processing power there to make it easy to swipe through without having to wait for lag and things to load. So Nissan's done a really good job there. It's not the simplest system. I think Kia, Hyundai, and some others have easier to use interfaces, but the screen is beautiful in this vehicle. And you also get a full suite of safety equipment here, blind spot monitoring, rear cross traffic alerts, forward collision warnings. Jack, the price here is almost $67,000, so it's not cheap for a Nissan. But I think for the performance, you can't do a whole lot better in the segment. I think I might prefer the Supra though, but that's a conversation for next week when I review that car.
Yeah, well, I'd love to hear about that because I might lean toward the Z in that comparison. But you'll tell us next week which one you like better. And I've liked the Zs through the years, and certainly this seems right in that tradition. So very, very cool. $67,000 though. I'm banging my hand against my forehead on that, but everything is just so expensive these days. I guess I should get with it. Well, this is going to be somewhat of a different road test than we typically do, because typically I'm in a vehicle for a week or at least a long period of time and then give a road test evaluation. This time around, I was in the Ford Bronco Sport for 2025 with the Sasquatch package, which is all new, for a very short period of time. Actually, I flew across country for what it amounted to, less than a half hour drive in this thing. But I gained a lot of information from a lot of the people from Ford that I talked to, including the brand manager, Mike Weller. And I think we had that interview in last week's show. But I want to talk to you about the drive in it, because what I found out about the vehicle was it's really darn capable. It is really incredibly capable. And what Ford found out when they marketed the Bronco Sport, they weren't really sure how heavy into off-road they should go. And they decided to go fairly heavy, but not as heavy as with the full-size Bronco, and not offer a Sasquatch package, which is their full-on off-road package. And now they've decided, our buyers really want that. They want that offering. So they are now offering the Sasquatch package on both the 1.5-liter Outer Banks version of the Bronco Sport and the 2-liter Badlands model. And I got to drive the latter with the higher horsepower. It has a bunch of great stuff, and I'll detail that. Twin clutch rear drive unit with a locking rear diff. Maybe the most important thing is the 29-inch Goodyear Territory all-terrain tires. These are the biggest tires in the class by far. It has a new rally mode in its goat modes. It goes over any terrain mode. This is for high-speed running, which I definitely did not do in this quick trip I had to Tennessee and back. I was in heavy off-road kind of situation. It has the trail one-pedal drive, which is essentially cruise control on the trail. And it has a 360-degree camera with a trail view, so that's very, very helpful. The Sasquatch package has upgraded suspension with Bilstein rear shocks. It has increased suspension travel, not a ton of increase, but some increase. Increase in ride height, not even more than an inch, but an increase in ride height. And just a bunch of bash plates, and it's like the real deal here. What's your overall take on what's Ford trying to put together here?
Well, I'll say that the standard Bronco Sport is surprisingly capable as it is. So the improvement on that makes it quite impressive for what it is. And the 3-cylinder engine, despite being small, I'm surprised they gave that package to the smaller engine. But it's also quite a capable engine. It's buzzy, but it's more than powerful enough. I can't wait to drive it. I haven't been behind the wheel of one yet. So it'll be interesting to see how close to the real quote-unquote Bronco Ford got with it.
Yeah, they put us into some pretty serious off-road stuff. And I've done a lot of off-roading, mostly in other people's vehicles over the course of the last 20 or 30 years. So I'm fairly expert at this now. And I was, frankly, very impressed by what this vehicle was able to do. I mean, it took on pretty much anything. The only limiting factor, I think, is ground clearance versus some of the other larger vehicles, or like the Bronco, which offers pretty significantly more ground clearance. But it has a bunch of the good stuff: front brush guards, steel skid plates, and I mean the real deal skid plates, as opposed to, well, it kind of looks like a skid plate, but it's actually half plastic and it got a little metal in it here and there. It has front and rear bumpers that accept accessories very easily, kind of like the the full-size Bronco does. So for recovery points, it's really the real deal here. Not inexpensive, but over the course of my drive, I just was, as I say, very impressed by what it was able to do in this very serious course. And then they've upgraded the interior of this thing, a better, bigger size display, 13.2-inch center display with Sync 4, wireless Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, a standard 12.3-inch digital information instrument cluster. So there's a lot to like about this vehicle. It's not cheap in Badlands with Sasquatch form. I think it's probably touching $50,000 or so. But in the context of a $67,000 Nissan Z, maybe this is a pretty good bargain. And certainly a lot of capability for the money here.
Yeah, I mean, people want to go for the biggest and baddest thing they can buy, but the Bronco Sport is more than most people will probably ever use in terms of off-road capability.
Yeah. And of course, you can get a much less expensive Ford Bronco Sport. And as a dual-use vehicle, I mean, one you can commute in, gets pretty good fuel economy. You can get one for under $30,000. There's a lot to like about that, too. So certainly the Sasquatch is going to cost you a ton. But throughout the line, you can kind of mix and match and figure out features without going full-on Sasquatch if you want, that will get you to the trailhead and to the places you want to go. So I think these are vehicles we scored pretty big time this time around, didn't we, Chris?
Yeah, I had a great week. I can't wait to talk about next week.
Yeah. Well, when we come back, our special guest will be Andrei Rabinovich. He is the Senior Manager of Product Planning for Hyundai. We will be talking with him about the all-new 2025 Hyundai Tucson. Of course, that's one of the brand's most important vehicles. I was just at a recent event in Los Olivos, California, and I think you'll enjoy hearing what he has to say. So stay with us for that, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
And here's the pitch.
Want to score some runs with your family? How about an all-inclusive 5-day, 4-night vacation for two adults and two children at the Ocean Spa Hotel in Cancun for only $699? Includes airport pickup, hotel, and all food and drinks, including alcohol. And you can travel anytime in the next 12 months with no blackout dates. So visit CancunEscapes.com/radio to book a family vacation for four for only $699.
Going, going, gone with CancunEscapes.com/radio.
This is sponsored by Burger King. Can you handle the heat? Burger King is serving up bold flavor and spice this summer with the all-new Fiery Menu, featuring the Fiery Bacon Whopper, Fiery Mozzarella Fries, Fiery Chicken Fries, and more for a limited time at participating U.S. restaurants. The menu is a fiery take on your BK favorites, with spice levels from mild to wild, offering something for everyone so all spice lovers can truly have it their way. Start with spice level 1 with Fiery Strawberry and Sprite. Sprite taken up a notch with a Fiery Strawberry Puree for a refreshing sip with just enough kick to leave you wanting more. Add Fiery Mozzarella Fries or Fiery Chicken Fries to your meal for extra flavor and heat. True spice seekers should look no further than the Fiery Bacon Royal Crispy Chicken. At spice level 5, this sandwich features a crispy white meat breast fillet coated with fiery glaze and topped with crispy fiery seasoned bacon, pepper jack cheese, tomatoes, lettuce, and creamy fiery sauce on a toasted bun. To find your nearest restaurant and learn more about the Fiery Menu, please visit www.bk.com. Limited time only.
Lowe's knows it's easier to make the right calls when you have the right team. That's why our Lowe's Red Vest associates can help with game time decisions. Plus, use in-store mode on the Lowe's app to find what you need. Under pressure at home and want it soon? Order online by 2 p.m. to get it same day. Same day valid on eligible in-stock items and select zip codes only, subject to driver availability. Fees vary based on purchase. Exclusions and more terms apply. See Lowe's.com/same-day-delivery for details.
Welcome to Staples.
Hi, I need to print for my business, but I really have to watch the budget.
Staples can print whatever you need, and now you get up to 30% off print purchases. So the more you print,
the more I save?
Right.
So if I print $600 worth of signs,
you save $180.
Ooh, and if I print $1 million worth, I'd save...
No clue, but I'm thinking there are a lot of zeros.
Now at Staples, the more you print, the more you save. Up to 30% off. Plus, you save even more with hundreds of hot deals throughout the store. Ends 9/7, exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for details.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jack Nierad back with you. We're kind of in the Central California area, driving a very interesting vehicle, the 2025 Hyundai Tucson, mostly in hybrid form this time around. Andre Ravinovich is with us, expert on this vehicle, product planner, kind of in charge of this this vehicle. So I can't think of anybody who's better to describe it for our listeners. It's been a very successful product. I think this is, what, the fourth generation of Tucson? Yep. Tell us a bit about Tucson, just kind of set the stage, and then we can talk about what's new for 2025.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, like I said, this is the fourth generation of the Tucson. It's obviously a pretty successful product for us, pretty critical product for our brand and for a lot of brands, right? It's a segment that's, I think, the largest segment in mainstream vehicles. You know, this car, it's a car that's obviously evolved a lot over the years. And we're here, you know, we're talking about the mid-cycle refresh of the current Tucson that's been incredibly well received by customers, and we're obviously always finding ways to make it better.
Describe for our listeners what a mid-cycle refresh is. I mean, yeah. We're in the industry, we get it, sure. But they probably don't.
Yeah. So most cars on the road typically go through 5 to 6 year life cycle from when they're first launched to until the replacement comes out. And for most cars also, they typically go through a decent level of change at the midpoint of that cycle, right? So around the 3 year mark, you know, we'll change things like some of design elements in the front and rear, some of the interior changes, and add new technology if we have a chance. So it all depends on what's possible, right? And how much we want to change.
And they're pretty significant changes, exterior changes, the interior changes, technology changes. So walk us through it. Let's start with the exterior, because maybe it's subtle to some people, but when you look at them side by side, it becomes pretty plain what's happening here.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's interesting that I think in the market in general, in industry in general, there's a lot more movement towards a little bit more toughness and ruggedness to designs of SUVs, right? We went through a phase where SUVs, when they originally came out, they definitely were, right? Their body on frame, they're a lot more, you know, essentially trucks with an SUV body, right? And then it moved a lot more into sportiness, right? And I think we're kind of seeing it go the other direction a little bit. So I think that was a lot of the focus on this change, is to kind of bring a little bit of that more angular, more structure kind of look to the front and the rear of the car. So like you said, I may say, okay, maybe I said it was maybe a small change, but it is pretty significant, right? So there's a lot of change to, you know, the entire lower bumper, right? Or the entire bumper of the car, the grille design, the lighting, which actually is really expensive.
The lighting is, you know, one of your signatures, kind of one of the things about the Tucson that really caught people's attention, I think, immediately was that, you know, lighting signature that you have up front. Yep. You've altered that a bit, and I guess it's tougher, right?
Yeah. So it's a little bit more vertical. There's actually one less lighting element. So you originally had like five different separate little DRL lights. Now there's only four.
Right.
But they're bigger.
So over the run of the production, you've saved millions of dollars.
Yeah, by getting real. Yeah. No, and it's actually something that we always push to try to do in these mid-cycle changes. It's not always possible is to change lighting, right? Because it's obviously super expensive. Changing design, the testing, all the stuff that has to go through with something like that. So. Yeah, and it's the character of the car, right? Lights are like the eyes and the personality of the car in a lot of ways. So it's kind of cool to be able to do that in a change like this.
And kind of more squared off, maybe it seems more upright than it was before, where it seemed a little more horizontal.
And it fits with the whole persona of the car, right? Like more upright, like more square, gives it a little bit more toughness, right? A little bit more strength to it. Anytime you look at a car and seeing things that are more vertical, right? It gives it a sense of width, gives a sense of space. Even if the car doesn't, we're not really changing the size of the car here in this case, but it does give that proportion and sense that the car is wider and bigger.
And this is a vehicle, you know, a very important vehicle in terms of volume, but it also sells to both men and women, right? I mean, you can tell me the splits probably, but I imagine it's pretty close to even, right?
I think depending on the year, maybe even a little bit higher for female buyers. And it's always a balance, right? Like, everybody has different tastes. Obviously, there's both sides that sometimes want more tough or less tough, right? So it's I think it's finding a good balance of both, right? Not too over the top tough, but have at the same time, like you know, you'll have a chance to drive here as well. The XRT kind of pushes that even more, right? The XRT trim is a little even more rugged, a little bit more.
Which is your off-road version of this vehicle?
Yeah, a little bit more capability. Definitely.
Very, very, very cool. Walk us through powertrains. This is one of the few vehicles in the segment that offers a wide variety of hybrid, plug-in hybrid.
Yeah, yeah, and it's actually the only vehicle in our current Hyundai lineup that actually has all three powertrains. So yeah, so you have a regular gasoline engine, you have a hybrid, and plug-in hybrids. Which plug-in hybrids, I know traditionally for most people, it's been kind of a interesting powertrain choice, right? Not many people really.
It's one of the ones that journalists gravitate to, and the general public goes, what are you talking about? I don't get this.
And if you use it the way they're intended to be used, I love it. They're obviously the idea that you can charge the car, you can get your 32 miles or so of range out of it. That's enough for most people to commute 2 or 3 days for the week, right? And pure EV, and obviously,
or you're running errands around town, I can see that.
And then obviously when you not using that EV range, you're in the regular hybrid, right? You'll still have the really great, 35 plus fuel economy of a normal hybrid. So it's kind of almost like the best of both worlds in a way.
Right. If I remember correctly, I think your hybrid split was something like 25% of total sales.
Yeah, total Tucson last year was about 22% for the hybrid and 3% for the plug-in. So we can combine the two, are about a quarter of all Tucson's.
Right. And then tell us about the normally aspirated engine, or the not normally aspirated, but the base engine.
Yeah, the gasoline engine. Yeah, it's a 2.5 liter four cylinder.
So it is normally aspirated.
Yeah, it's normally aspirated.
Not a turbo.
Not a turbo. Yeah, on the Santa Cruz we have a couple of the different trims that have the 2.5 turbo, but on Tucson it's the normally aspirated. Mm-hmm. It's about 187 horsepower, so it's a pretty good engine for the size of the car. It gets you a good amount of power. And good fuel economy too, right? Which is always even if you don't go the route of the hybrid, right? You still get great capability there too. Right.
Walk us through that. Walk us through what kind of
drive line. Yeah. So for us on Tucson, it's all wheel drive only for the hybrid and the plug-in hybrid. The idea is with I think that type of powertrain or that type of customer, all wheel drive is not just for somebody that lives in an area that has different seasons. I mean, I'm Southern California, so I'm not used to seasons all the time. But just that all wheel drive capability, it's obviously. People feel safer. You can go to the mountains, right? So there's a lot of
rain. You feel very connected, and you get better traction overall.
And our hybrids, we're doing a lot of really interesting things with that hybrid powertrain, right? So playing around with the motor. So the hybrids have, even though it's a smaller electric motor than like a pure EV, you have some kind of capability there to kind of play around with how power is delivered on the electric motor. So one of the features I really love on this change of the car is baby mode, right? And it may sound like a small thing, but it's just adding comfort for people in the car, right? So you're kind of...
Walk us through that, because it's really cool. And I think people who haven't experienced electric drive probably won't get what problem you're solving. But walk us through that.
No, it's funny because electric vehicles, it's all about... They have instant torque, right? You go from zero power to 100% power output like that. And it's great for the person driving it. It's fun, right? But for passengers, not always a good experience, right? Like they get a little bit of a whiplash effect. Obviously, in our job, we travel a lot to Korea, and I've heard over there, people are avoiding electric taxis in a way because they don't like the comfort of being as a passenger in an EV. And so that's the type of feature, we're adding this to Tucson and, down the line maybe to
Well, tell our listeners how it works because basically you limit torque, right? The initial torque.
You're smoothing out like the initial kind of acceleration, kind of buildup of the electric motor so that it becomes kind of like a smoother, like kind of off the line, kind of as you drive away and making it more.
Well, and I think, baby mode is an interesting thing to call it, but it's actually useful for for people who don't have babies, for people who don't have pets, but for people who want to park or, kind of ease into their garage or something like that. Well, and I like the thing. I mean, this is discovering something that it could be an issue with people. They don't want that kind of feel to that. So this improves the feel for them. So that's great that you've been able to use existing hardware and to make that happen. That's terrific. So you've done some other things too, I think, in the interior of the vehicle or with that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a big change for this year for the interior. Like the overall overall design aesthetic of the interior is completely different. We moved to a lot more, I guess, not to use internal too many things, but more of a horizontal kind of a look, layout of the car.
Yeah.
So both the screens and the air vents kind of have like a nice side-to-side kind of like panoramic kind of feel to them. And it makes the car, even though it hasn't changed in size, feel much bigger, much more open, much more area of an interior. And with obviously bigger screens, you get a lot more places to.
So you have essentially two screens side by side that look like one screen.
So they're both depending on the trim of Tucson. It's a 12.3-inch digital center instrument panel and then the 12.3-inch multimedia screen in the center. But they're both under the same kind of curved, and the screens themselves are curved as well. Both under the same kind of curved panel, so it feels like one nice kind of seamless screen in the center of the car.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks terrific. Use that, I think, on Ioniq 5 and some other interiors have something similar,
yeah,
I think, right?
Yeah, and Santa Fe as well.
Yep. Yeah. And also a shelf, a kind of a shelf right on the dash, which I think is kind of a throwback, but pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, what was great about this kind of change in the overall design of the car, having like nice horizontal kind of lines, it adds more space, right? And these days, technology for things like airbags have evolved so much that they're smaller, more compact. We can move them, place and still have them, function the way they're supposed to. Gives you that openness, right? Like any car, doesn't matter how big or how small it is, people always want more storage, right? Always more places to just put stuff, right? And that shelf is great, right? Somebody, passenger, can walk in, put a phone, put a wallet and something, and then, nice little taps kind of hold it from moving around.
Right. Yeah. Nice little wireless phone charger area right there on that console.
Yeah, wireless charging, obviously, as much as we focus on getting a really awesome multimedia system, a lot of people we know use Android Auto and CarPlay, and having that wireless now in Tucson and having that wireless charger where it's moved to on some of the models, super easy, right? Just get in the cars, put the phone right there, and good to go.
So. Right. And you've changed to shift by wire, which kind of opens up a lot of console space, right?
Well, yeah, that was the change. On our limited trim for our gas model and then on all of the hybrid and plug-in hybrids, our essentially shift controller was a push button system in that center console area. So yeah, like you said, we moved it to the column, which actually I love because it's just right there and so intuitive to kind of grab and twist forward to go forward, twist back to go back. And then like you said, opened up space for the wireless charger, bigger cup holders.
Some of your competitors have a thing where you push it up and it seems like it should go forward, but that's how you get reverse and vice versa, which is not that intuitive.
No, this is super intuitive. Twist to go forward,
Yeah, very good. Finally, we don't have to complain about the fact that wireless Apple CarPlay, Android Auto were not available on up-level systems. Talk about the infotainment system.
Yeah, so it's a brand new platform. It's a new generation of our infotainment system. Same on some of our other models that we just launched, like Santa Fe. Much faster, much more, like everybody always wants, more customizable, right? You can kind of choose some how you want to display certain things or the order of how you want to display certain things on the screen. What's great is that because it's a system that's like connected and integrated to other parts of the car, with over-the-air updates, theoretically, we could update, your gauge cluster. We could update information that the HUD provides, or even the graphics on your air conditioning panel.
Could
theoretically be, if we found a better way to display it, or if we want to make some improvements over the years, it's a good opportunity there.
Does Hyundai initiate the over-the-air updates, or how does it work with the owner of the vehicle? Do they opt in, or is it just happen, or
We'll essentially send out the update, and it shows up as a pop-up on the screen, and the customer, we can choose to accept it and do it right away, or decline and do it later, or if they don't want to do it for whatever reason, decline and, for a few times or forever, maybe.
Right. You alluded a little before about HUD, head-up display, which is pretty unique. I don't know if you can be pretty unique, actually, but it's unique, I think, to this segment. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, the only model in the segment that has a heads-up display, and it's great, if you drive long drives or especially nowadays with some of the safety systems like blind spot monitor and things like that, like having that HUD that shows information right there in front of you is great. Great to have something unique in the segment. Something that we're always, like any car company, we're always trying to find, okay, how can we look at other segments and slowly bring some of the technologies down to different different models.
What's your favorite change? What do you think, I hit a home run when we said
interior design. It's just, I like the existing or the previous model, but I think this one is just so fresh and open, and I'm a car guy and I love like little things, so the steering wheel spoke shape feels sporty, has almost a little bit of not quite flat sides, but it has kind of a nice little bit, it kind of flattens out a little bit, so it just feels nice to drive, right? It's amazing that the world that we're in, that whatever segment you're in, cars are so premium these days,
yes,
right, for good or bad, right? But it's just a good experience.
Well, Andrei Rabinovich, thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate you told us a bunch. I've learned a bunch about the new 2025 Hyundai Tucson.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's great. Go out there and try it out. It's a great car.
I can't wait to drive it some more. And stay with us, everybody. We'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
Looking for a cruise vacation? Cruise.com is offering its exclusive sale of the year to all listeners to this station. Every major cruise line, including Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess, MSC, and more, are on sale now. Call 1-800-430-7924 and book one of these deals while supplies last. Cruises start from as low as $39 per person per day. There isn't a better vacation value to places like Alaska, Europe, the Caribbean, South America, and more. Call one of the largest cruise specialists in the world at 1-800-430-7924. We'll find you a vacation that includes drinks, Wi-Fi, excursions, and more. Call 1-800-430-7924. Again, that's 1-800-430-7924. Space is limited. Don't miss your opportunity to book the best deal of the year. That's 1-800-430-7924. Sponsored by Cruise.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road with Christine Jackney Rad back with you. And we're so glad you're with us. We do appreciate it. This is typically the segment in which we take a listener question, but I thought we would talk about a little bit about the departure from the NERAD family of an old family friend. And that's a vehicle that we had for 25 years, a 1998 Ford Explorer that was named by my daughters Clifford, because he was big and red. I guess he still is big and red. He's just not with us anymore. And after 25 years, we decided that our youngest daughter needed a new vehicle. So we decided to move on and decided to donate Clifford to a very worthwhile charity called Mission Cars, based in San Luis Obispo, California, where they take the proceeds of selling vehicles, donated vehicles, and then they use the proceeds to help prison inmates train personal assistance dogs that help people with PTSD and that kind of thing. So very, very worthwhile thing. What I want to talk about a little bit is cars that have a sentimental value to us or we have a sentimental attachment to. Chris, tell us about that. What's your experience with that kind of thing?
Yeah, I do have, I do change cars very, very rapidly and very frequently, but my family over the years has accumulated a few vehicles. They're currently with family members in Tennessee. We have a 1951 Chevrolet pickup truck with the wood bed that my stepfather has been holding on to for decades now. We have a mid-70s Ford F-100 pickup truck that my grandfather drove for gosh, I don't know how many years after I was born. And those are sitting in a garage waiting for me to inherit them when I have time and space and all those fantastical things to work on them and use them.
If you want to read about Clifford, just go to Driving Today, drivingtoday.com, and you'll see my little article about Clifford. And I guess that's kind of the show for this week. Thanks so much for joining us. We do appreciate it. If you like the show, please pass it along to somebody you think might like the show. And of course, it's easy to pass along a podcast of America on the Road, isn't it, Chris?
It is. A quick Google search for the America on the Road podcast will bring us to you on all the major platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the rest. Like us, download us, leave us a review. All those things help us, and you can take us wherever you go.
Right. Take us wherever you go, and you can look for us on TV, or kind of on TV, on YouTube and Rumble. Our special thanks to our Sports Byline Network radio stations for carrying America on the Road. We do appreciate that very much. And most of all, thanks to you for listening to America on the Road. We know you have a lot of choices of things to listen to these days, things to watch these days. We're honored by the fact that you're watching us, listening to us. Thanks so much for that. And please join us again next time for another edition of America on the Road.